asked to begin again and start working through Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. As we've looked at it before, we realize that we are to rejoice in the Lord always, which means to delight in his grace towards us. It means that we are to be gentle with one another during difficult times because the Lord is with us. His presence gives us the ability to be gentle with each other. And we're taught to let go of our anxieties, to be anxious in nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to make our requests made known to God so that we could receive his peace. And so we know that when we are rejoicing, when we are showing that gentle spirit, and when we're casting our cares on God, that we're receiving a real blessing and sense of protection. And so we're looking now at Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to read them again to you. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So now we looked already at the idea of whatever is true, and we established that whatever is true happens to be whatever God sees to be as true. We talked last week, I hope, in your groups about the difference between worldly truth and godly truth and how we can identify the difference between those things. He tells us to focus on whatever is noble. And we talked about how what is noble is the things that are awe-inspiring, the things that cause us to just go, wow, and to be amazed at what God is doing around us. And so I hope you were able to talk a little bit about having seen some of those things. In our group, we talked about some things like watching people come together to make masks or to ensure that the elderly have their groceries being brought. Those are noble things. And they're of noble character, much like Ruth and the way that she took care of Naomi. And so now we're going to look at, I feel like we just, I want to take them one at a time. And so the next topic is whatever is right. Now, the thing about whatever is right is that it's nice and simple. It's doing the right thing, right? Not a very complicated process. But there's three things in looking at this that I think we need to consider, and I hope we'll be able to get through relatively quickly here. The first is that doing right requires knowing truth. In Exodus 15, verse 26, it says, "He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So when we're looking at doing the right thing, doing the right things in God's eyes, we have to go back to his word. We have to let God be the standard, because in order for something to be right, it has to be true, doesn't it? And so we're focusing on and recognizing that we need to do what's right. Now, one thing that has always stood out to me is that the Christian life is always about doing the next right thing, right? As I live out my life, I need to be focused on what's the right thing for the people in my life. What's the right thing to do in a certain circumstance? How do I know what is right? And so we recognize that for Christians, doing the right thing, doing what God calls us to, is of the utmost importance. It's so fundamental to Christian life that the Apostle John says in 1 John 3:10, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor is anyone who does not love his brothers or sisters." See, doing right is foundational to who we are as believers. And so in order to do right, we have to know truth. We have to be in God's word. We have to be looking and asking ourselves, what would God say in this circumstance? Would he call me to do this or this? How do I know what he wants for my life? And so when we look at these things, it's important for us to have a mindset of looking for the truth. So that's the first thing, is doing right requires knowing what the truth is. The second thing that we need to look at is that doing right requires right thinking. Doing right requires thinking, right thinking. Okay? You know, so many times we end up in trouble in relationships because we don't think before we speak. We're so quick to just say whatever. You know, one of my biggest struggles and the things that I suffer from is the fact that I have a quick wit. And so very often I'm like talking to people and they say something and something funny pops into my head and it just blurts out of my mouth. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. And so I say these things and sometimes it's really funny and entertaining and everybody gets a good laugh. And other times it hurts people. Other times, the things that I say, when I look back, I'm like, oh, why did I say that? But I just slowed down and thought before I spoke. Maybe things could have been different. And that's what James says in James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You see, when we think before we speak, our actions come across differently. We don't say as often things that would hurt people. When we stop and think and say, what would be the right thing to say here? I know what I want to say, which is my fleshly, worldly self saying, this is what I want to say. But is this what God would want me to say? Is this loving? Is it kind? Is it gentle? Is it helpful? You know, these are things that we need to be thinking about as believers, is how do I talk to people in a way that comes off gentle, right? Like he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Prove the Lord is near by being gentle in your conversation. You all know I'm working on this myself, so this is not a judgment, but it's something we need to pay attention to. We need to think before we speak. We also need to think before we act. You know, JJ's finally reached that phase in his life where he's just kind of doing stuff, you know, like he doesn't think about it. He's just like, I want to throw a brick. I'll throw a brick. And it hits, you know, hits somebody. He smacks his sister. And we go, JJ, what were you thinking? And he says, I don't know. You know, when he's little, it's important for us to teach him, like, no, you've got to think about that. How is it going to make Melody feel when you smack her? It doesn't feel good. So you need to think about that before you act, before you make a decision to do something, right? And so the reality is we're not really that different. You know, I've tried to be open and honest about the fact that I am really struggling with being pinned in, being home, not really having the ability to get out and about. And so, you know, Julie was trying to help me to talk through those things. She was trying to help me to get to a place where I could work through some things. And I just, because it felt like she was trying to fix me, it made me really, really upset. And I had an outburst. I lost my temper. I had an outburst. And, you know, afterwards, Julie looked at me and she said, is that really what you want to teach our son? Like, do you want our kids to grow up seeing you lose your temper? And it was very, very sobering. And as I step back and I look at that and I realize what's going on, I have to look and say, like, you know what? In that moment, I lost sight of thinking about the next right thing. I lost sight of being able to talk to my wife, to communicate with her, and to share. Now, after I, you know, yelled a little bit and you know, I was able to come back to grips with things, and we had some good, healthy conversation. But thinking about what the right thing to do is the key to making sure we do the right thing. The third thing that we're going to talk about is doing right requires action. Okay? It's one thing to think about something. It's one thing to know what to do. And it's something completely different to actually participate in it, to actually do the thing that you're supposed to be doing. You know, I very, very much think of Jonah when it comes to this example of actually doing right. Jonah knew that the right thing was to go to Nineveh. God had called him as a prophet and said, I want you to go to Nineveh. But Jonah chose not to. He chose not to do the right thing. He chose to get on a ship and to sail away. And God had to force him back into the right place. You know, it's so important for us as believers to do the things that God wants us to do the right thing. You know, the simple fact of the matter is that when we know the right thing, when we know what's good to do, and we don't do it, it's sin. James says in James chapter 4, verse 17, if anyone then knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. You know, we all fall short. None of us are going to get through this life perfect. But one thing that is absolutely 100% true is that each of us have the opportunity to make the next right decision. We may fall short. We may come up short. But we each have that next opportunity to go, you know what? Lord, I fell short. I didn't cut it. I didn't live up to your standard. And now I need to step back from that, and I need to just get on the next right step. You know, when we do these things, when we think about the next right thing, and then continue to put it into practice, as Paul said, the things you have seen in me, put into practice. God has the ability to create an environment of peace within our hearts. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we feel like doing the right thing is not going to work out well for us. That's definitely how Jonah felt, right? Like, it's not going to work out well for me if I go, because if Nineveh repents, then this wicked city that has hurt my people will be protected by God. God will turn around and bless them. And yet, it was the right thing to do. And as God pointed out at the end of the book of Jonah, all of those people's lives were saved because they were given the chance to repent. God loved them enough to look after them. But if there's any doubt in your mind that doing the right thing leads to peace, leads to having comfort, I want you to think about what Jesus did on the cross. You see, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He prayed three times, saying, please don't make me do this. If there's any other way you can save them besides me having to go to the cross, me having to be separated from you, please do that. Do that thing. But Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. He was focused on what the Father wanted. He was focused on doing what God called him to do. And in doing that, in making that choice, look what happened. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in the ground, and he rose again to a new life. And we today, as believers, have the opportunity to live free from all worry, from all fear, and to have total and complete peace, because through Jesus' death, we received the ultimate gift. We received our salvation, and we received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And because we have those things, we don't have to fear. When we face difficult times like this, we can find peace because we do what is right. We trust in the Word of God. We think before we act, and then we follow through with God's right way. We're going to break up into our groups pretty soon here, and so there are questions that your group leaders have. I hope that these things will be an encouragement to you guys. Remember, we want to make sure we're going to ask for one thing we can rejoice in, that we're rejoicing about, and one thing that we're feeling anxious about, so we can pray about these things and give them to God. One rejoice, one anxiety, and your group leaders will have the questions. God bless you guys, and look forward to our group time.